It is Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC game day on the home of the Winnipeg Jets. This is TSN 1290, and we are the Illegal Curve Hockey Show with Dave Minuk and Sean Assor. I'm Matt Leibel. Great to have you in just past 1:30 on this Saturday afternoon. 6 o'clock start tonight for the Jets and the Florida Panthers. This segment is brought to you by Frank and Maura Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Maura Zappia online at zappiagroup.com. We're trying to connect with Mike Hyka of the Dallas Morning News. Jets play the Stars in a home-and-home Tuesday and Thursday this coming week. But before we do that, we mentioned you can interact with the show on Twitter, at Illegal Curve, at IC Dave, at The Sasser, S-A-S-S-O-R, or myself, at Matt Leibel, L-E-I-B-L. What do we got on the tweets, Mr. Minuk?
Well, we got Corey Toker saying, how many of these season ticket holders that are anti-tanking or against tanking are only part of a group that shares the seats? Meaning maybe they only buy one or two games a season. Are they really, you know? But again, we're not trying to differentiate, saying you're a better fan by doing that. Just asking the question. Mm-hmm. And then Wayne Jones said, Buff was an eighth-round pick. Not picking first doesn't mean you can't land an all-star, which is true. I mean, and that's the biggest thing. I mean, we can go through the list of, and it's a long one, of players who never panned out to be anything more. You know, McDavid wasn't going to be that player. But there's been first-round top picks overall who don't pan out to be anything more than player agents. I mean, you know, the Thrashers have one in their history. So
Patrick Stefan.
Right, exactly. So there's that. And then finally, Randy, I don't want to pronounce Randy's last name, so I won't even try, but every Moose player you mentioned has more skill and talent in their hockey bag than Kopp. So how is that tanking? And he wrote cool, but I think he means Kopp to the AHL. So I think he's wanting to see some of those Moose players up sooner rather than later.
Andrew Kopp is expected to be back in the lineup tonight. He was a healthy scratch Thursday. The second tweet you read there touches on something that I struggle with every time we have these sorts of conversations about losing with a purpose, needing a top draft pick, everything. I was on with Lawless this week, and he says he's of the mind, it seems to me, that you need to have a superstar in your lineup if you want to be a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. Not a playoff team, not even winning a round. But if you want to be right now what we have with the Blackhawks or the Kings or the Lightning or the Capitals or the Stars or the Ducks, the handful, six, seven teams that are really, really the legit elite teams, look at them. They've all got superstar guys, and each one of those teams has at least one guy taken in the top five, maybe even the top three. Right? The Blackhawks have Kane and Taves. The Kings got a little bit lucky with Kopitar because he was Slovenian and he dropped. But the Kings also were able to get Drew Doughty. Tyler Seguin for the Stars. I mean, Ovechkin and Backstrom for the Capitals. Do the Jets, do you need a top five pick? A slam dunk top five? I'm just going to throw this out there, and we're going to get Mike on and we can continue this conversation later. But do the Jets need to have, or maybe we'll have it right now, do you need a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers? Could he be an elite guy, or is he just going to be a very good player because he's outside of the top five? Kyle Connor, you guys were talking about earlier. The numbers in the NCAA are disgustingly good.
Oh, yeah.
51 points in 28 games. This is even better than Dylan Larkin. But then again, Kyle Connor was drafted 17th. Trouba drafted, what was it, 9th. Scheifele drafted 8th. The Jets' lineup does look to be missing that key guy. So you can understand the argument, Sean. We need to lose. We need a top three pick. That's the only way you get that guy, and that guy puts you over the top.
Absolutely. I agree with the sentiment that every team, if you really want to make a run, you need that guy. You need that guy that at some point when the team is down, he's going to put the team on his shoulders and score those one or two goals that other players wouldn't be able to score. Those superstars have that drive. There's something in them that when the team is down, and it may not be like, you know, your typical sniper goal scorer or anything, but just one of those guys that when the team is down, something gets sparked. We've seen it in Blake Wheeler. We really have. And whether or not you want to consider Blake Wheeler a superstar in this league, it's tough, but where he began in this league as to where he is now, he is one of the premier players in this league. I don't care. He's maybe not be your typical superstar, and he may not be the superstar that, you know, your team needs to progress into the finals. But he's up there, and I agree, though. You do need that guy. You need that guy, whether Ehlers can be him, whether it is Kyle Connor in, coming in the ranks in a couple of years.
Or those guys may max out as very good, right? Like, mm-hmm. Or they may be very, very good. You know, it's interesting you talk about Wheeler. I wouldn't call him a superstar. I would say, though, Olympian, all-star. Like, he's a star player. I love the point you make about really after 24, 25, he really, really got going mm-hmm. since the Jets moved here. He was a fifth overall draft pick, wasn't he?
Yeah, he went fifth overall.
He was a fifth overall draft pick. So I wonder what that does to the whole conversation. Andrew Ladd, to be fair, was also a fourth overall draft pick, maybe to the point where just because you get a top five, like you guys were saying earlier, it's not like that necessarily solves anything anyway. But I just wonder, how are you more likely to find your it guys by tanking, by sucking, and getting a really good draft pick? Or are there other ways? Or is the best way still just to get a top three pick? Do you find them anywhere else? It feels like you'd have to get luckier that way, right? I guess there's luck in everything, isn't there, Dave?
There's no question that the Jets drafting has been very good. I mean, they have a lot of nice pieces in the system right now. Not necessarily on the Moose, but in the system, whether it's college or Western Hockey League or the Ontario Hockey League, they've got nice pieces. So I think the Jets fans have something to look forward to in the future. There's so many factors that come into play. I mean, you could have the number three pick and he could blow out his knee. I mean, like, there's so many intangibles that you're not factoring in that could come down the line. And look, Blake Wheeler, ask fans in Phoenix what they think of Blake Wheeler, their fifth round pick. They weren't very happy with Blake Wheeler. And Blake Wheeler went to Boston, you know, went back into the draft, right? Boston took him and then got moved to Atlanta. And then really, because he's been given the responsibility and allowed to mature. I mean, yeah, he's a guy, I think, there's no question, he's the engine that drives this team. I mean,
oh, he's their best forward. There's no question.
Close.
No, like, I think you're right. It's
yeah,
not even
so
close.
I mean, like, but I'm saying that you would use him as your, he's like the little engine that could, or the big engine, I guess, since he's 6 foot five. But you know, I mean, again, it's all about, I think it's, you don't win with one player. I mean, this isn't basketball, really? Like, yeah. You don't have one LeBron James, which really could take a bad Cleveland team and take them to the finals
or
every year.
Unless you're Connor McDavid, I guess, right? Like McDavid.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, no, I mean, Connor McDavid is, he's having an impact immediately, of course, but it's not like the Oilers are, and again, I know he missed like 30 games or whatever it was.
Right.
But, you know, it's not like suddenly the Oilers have won every game he's played in.
Yeah.
And they've had multiple number one picks right there. The Oilers are everyone's example of, well, tanking doesn't solve anything.
Yeah. Right, of course. But all I'm saying is that I think that it's all about the additional pieces. And I mean, yeah, wow, that's rocket science to say that. But, like, I really do think it's a fact. I think that, yes, you can have, an Austin Matthews. Can he transform a team like the Jets? I mean, he's ripping it up in Zurich right now. There's no question that he is a guy who could have an immediate impact on an NHL roster. But are the Jets, let's put it this way. Okay, if every Jets fan who wants this to happen gets what their wish, they fish their wish, and they get Austin Matthews, and Austin Matthews is wearing a Jets jersey next September.
Wouldn't that look so sweet?
It would be awesome.
And let me tell you, I've seen enough Austin Matthews, like, online jerseys to make people think, but of course I've seen him also in Jets jerseys, Leafs jerseys, Oilers jerseys.
Oilers, yeah.
You know, it appears to be the O Canada, because every Canadian team has a Matthews jersey. But all I'm saying is Austin Matthews going to change this team next year that significantly? Now, most fans would say you're going to have to move Pavlik out, bring Connor Hellebuyck in as your top goalie, and then we're really having a conversation. That's what a lot of those fans who are talking about
tanking. But in a couple of years, that's what they would be. Whether it is this next year,
right?
It would be that
in a
couple
of
years.
And again, I think that the fans who talk tank are talking long-term. They're not talking about what did the Jets 2016-17 they're definitely focused on it because it's important to, I mean, everybody in the city, and that's the true thing. And I don't like to label, you're not a good fan, you're a fan. Like, I don't like that. The truth is everybody has a different perspective in life. And so whether you choose to focus on tanking and that's what your focus is and that's what your opinion is, you're entitled to that. And again, I say that whether you're a season ticket holder or not, I just think it factors in a little bit more in terms of whether as a season ticket holder, you'd want to see that or mm-hmm. pay for it. But you're still entitled to have an opinion. I mean, we live in a democracy. So I think people can talk about that kind of stuff and they shouldn't be tar and feathered. And similarly, to be honest with you, and I think this is part of the problem, and I see it more than most people because I see it online in addition to having conversations with people at the rink or outside of the rink. I think the problem is it's the dialogue that the two sides are having. And it's like an incapability of understanding. And again, this is what I say, the importance of looking at it from both perspectives. So if you do that and you can have an honest conversation, then that's fine. Don't talk down to people. Don't tell people they're stupid because they believe this or they're dumb because they believe that. It's have a conversation. Wait, am I shoveled off? We're always having conversations. But the truth is, it's an honest opinion. I really think like Jets fans need to kind of chill out a little bit because you see the vitriol sometimes. And it's like, where is this coming from? Like, you guys are all, at the end of the day, you're Jets fans. You know what I mean? So it's not like you can say, well, I'm a Jets fan because I want them to win. I'm a Jets fan because I want them to lose. Oh, not good, you know? Again, it's just your different perspective. That's my opinion. And again, I'm entitled to it.
100%. It looks like we've had no luck connecting with Mike Hyka of the Dallas Morning News. We'll just keep talking with you here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Jets Panthers tonight at 6 on this Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC game day. With all this talk about the Jets and the future and tanking, people want to know what's up with the Manitoba Moose. Coming up in hour number 3 after 2 o'clock, we're really going to get into some Moose conversation. And at 2:30, Jim Toth, Manitoba Moose color analyst, will join us. At the top of next hour, Mike Greenlay, Minnesota Wild color analyst for Fox Sports North, is going to join us. Again, you can hit us up on Twitter at Illegal Curve, at IC Dave, at The Sasser, and at Matt Leibel, LEIBL. This segment of Illegal Curve, sponsored by Riverview Health Center Foundation Cycle on Life. Illegal Curve is thrilled to be participating in the Riverview Health Center Foundation Cycle on Life. Join IC on June 5th in raising money for the Riverview Health Center's Alzheimer and Dementia Awards by cycling in the event or contributing to Team Illegal Curve. For more info about this or to join Team Illegal Curve, visit rhcf.mb.ca. Mike Greenlake, as we mentioned, coming up at the top of hour number 3, a color analyst for the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota Wild recently fired their coach. It's the second season in a row where they've kind of had this last gasp move late in the season. Last year it really worked. Trading for Devin Dubnyk in January, they went on a crazy run, won a round, went on to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Will firing Mike Yeo do the same thing for the Minnesota Wild this year? They are 3-0 under John Torchetti. We'll have to take a look at that when we return. Again, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on the home of the Jets, TSN 1290. Truthfully, out of the three guys, Drew, Richard, and Ezra, who do you think is most responsible for lines of communication getting crossed with Mike Hyka? If we had to blame someone.
Well, I blame everything on Drew, so I'm just going to say Drew. I know you guys are related, but sorry.
I'm actually related to all three of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is interesting because Richard and I are first cousins, and yet you and I are not related.
It's because you're related to Richard on the other side.
Correct.
We're related on the Pollock side. You guys are related on the Minook side.
That is correct.
Ezra and I actually are as closely related as Drew and I.
Really?
As far as the tree is concerned, yeah. Hmm. But Drew's so much louder and more vocal that you feel like he's more in your family just because he makes his presence felt.
That's one presence, all right.
Yeah. Except his presence is more of an absence today. All three of them absent. It is still the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 with Sean Assor and Dave Minook. I'm Matt Leibel, and it's great to have you in. We're getting ready for Jets-Panthers tonight at 6 here on the home of the Jets, TSN 1290. Coming up at the top of the hour as we start hour number 3, I'm going to talk a little Minnesota Wild with Mike Greenlay, Minnesota Wild color analyst for Fox Sports North. And a lot of people wondering, well, are the Jets playing the Wild? What are we talking about with the Wild? We got an outdoor hockey game. I completely missed this. I completely forgot. Chicago Blackhawks, Minnesota Wild are playing tomorrow outdoors stadium series. Mm-hmm. And so we want to bring Mike on and talk a little bit about the Wild and talk a little bit about this outdoor game. A lot of people are getting excited, actually, as far as Winnipeg is concerned with that CFL schedule coming out. Looks like October, really looking like those reports that John Shannon had that October, we are going to see a Heritage Classic Jets and Oilers. Have you guys ever been to an outdoor game?
No.
Sean, you ever been to an outdoor game?
I have not.
A couple years back when I got to go to New York with Huss for the Super Bowl, we went to Islanders-Rangers at New Yankee Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't catch a second of the game, and it was awesome. It's all about the event. It's all about the energy, the being there, particularly New York. Rangers fans, Islanders fans, the setting of Yankee Stadium is incredible, but the game is so secondary. And I wonder if this is one of the things you guys want to talk to Mike about, but I'd love to get your thoughts on it. Where are you guys with outdoor hockey games.
Well, I'll tell you this. The reason you probably forgot about it is because I believe there's like 10 this year. So that's probably why you're like, which
every
one is
every year aren't there 10?
Yeah, Colorado more every year.
Colorado
now.
And Detroit are playing next week. So, I mean, like, it's hard to
We've
keep...
only had one so far, though, right? The one in Boston with the Bruins and the Habs
Boston
on New
Montreal.
Year's Day, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
And there's still a few more to come?
Well, we've got tomorrow's Minnesota versus Chicago.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, next week, I believe Detroit and
Colorado.
Colorado are playing. Which will be
right. And last year they had like a whole bunch, right? Well, didn't they do one in L.A. with the Ducks and the Kings, where they actually played and Kiss performed?
Yeah, absolutely,
at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, there's so many of them. So I mean, that's part of it too. There's too much of it. It's like that show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where they had the right formula where they kept us wanting more, and then they made it into a daily 30-minute program. Like, it killed it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say is, and if you haven't experienced it, like some people say, you know, there is a weariness factor because you're like, it's lost its uniqueness, I would say that. Because when you have only one, then there really is a premium event that only a certain limited number of people get to experience. And so it's a little bit more exciting in that respect. Having said that, I mean, tell that to folks in St. Paul and Minneapolis tomorrow. You know what I mean? Because the fact is, those guys are energized to watch their team play. I mean, I might be more energized to watch the North Stars play tonight in the alumni game, but the fact is the fans are really happy and pumped to be able to go. It's a nice, you know, the weather's decent, so they're going to be able to experience it for most of them, I would imagine, for the first time.
Yeah, they're great. Just from a fan's perspective, I mean, I've never been to one, but we've watched plenty of them on TV.
You like watching them on TV?
I love watching them. I think it's great just because of the whole ambiance of the whole setup. You got the baseball or football stadiums that have kind of been transformed to look like makeshift hockey arenas, and I don't know.
Do you like the hockey, though? A lot of people have problems with the ice. I know the ice has gotten
better
recently.
That's my issue with the situation, is that it's so dependent on Mother Nature. So if it's too warm, or the forecast raises, or instead of snow it starts to rain and player safety becomes an issue, then that's where I kind of start to kind of cringe at the whole idea, when players have to be put in these situations where the product on the ice kind of suffers because these guys don't want to skate at 100% or don't want to take that turn on a dime because they know if they catch an edge, they could high ankle sprain or go flying into a boards or whatever. But just from a fan perspective and an observational perspective, I love them. I mean, imagine going, like I always go back to the families and just being with your families at an outdoor experience where normally it should be a football game or a baseball game, and all of a sudden there's an ice rink in the middle of the field and you got 50 plus thousand cheering and going insane, and guys are got the long walk. I love the long walk from the dressing rooms, where somehow it always ends up where both teams are side by side walking out to the ice together, and the guys are just kind of looking at each other. And I don't know. I love them. I think they're great. The novelty is starting to wear off when you have 6, 7, 8 a year, and it's just like, okay, we're doing another one of these. But then again, in that also respective, the alumni games are great. Seeing the old players that you loved watching growing up get to the ice and seeing how that they still got it, it's great to watch.
And from an NHL perspective, it's good for them because they're really rebranding. A lot of times they'll sell jerseys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you're
yeah,
you're
new
really,
jerseys come out for every one of these events.
So you've got like I said, I love them. I mean, I'm wearing a Hartford Whalers that I bought at the NHL store in New York during when we were at the New Jersey draft. And the truth is, like, you get a lot of nostalgia. So you're seeing a lot of, I mean, and it was funny because we were talking about this off the air. Like, it's imagine if this was the Dallas Stars, who used to be the Minnesota North Stars before they moved to Dallas, playing against the Minnesota Wild. And then you'd have an alumni team made up of, like, I don't know, which maybe one gets Aaron Broughton, the other one gets Neil Broughton. I don't know how you make the decision as to who plays for whom. But it would just, I mean, like I said, I just think it would have been funny because they have the actual tie as opposed to Chicago. Not that Chicago and Minnesota don't have a good rivalry. But, I mean, again, like I said, last year I looked, it was only L.A. and San Jose. So they're the ones who played at Dodger Stadium.
Must have been the year before that had a whole bunch of them.
Well, I think it's because there was like a Heritage Classic and an outdoor in 2014. Right. So that's what you're probably thinking of. But again, it's not that as many as I think what happened is they announced a bunch. So it made it feel like there were going to be like all in a row. But now, like I said, we had the one already previous this year, now tomorrow. Anyways, I think they're a lot of fun. I think that they add an element of difference to the game. And so, and I'm sure that, again, I'm sure the teams aren't upset to say, well, you know, we normally have 20,000 in an arena. Now we're pumping in an extra 40,000 people, well, that obviously helps the bottom line as well. So, I mean, from a team's perspective, you're making more money from this. You're selling probably new types of jerseys. So I definitely think there's that benefit, you know, and the players benefit, obviously, when there's an increase in revenue. So that's probably a good thing from their perspective. But, I think Sean hits it on the head. I think that from a fan perspective, you're getting this unique event.
If you're there.
If you're there.
I'm not sure about watching on TV.
And the truth is, like,
I'm not sure about how it translates on TV.
I think what I do, if I happen to be home, and usually they're on the weekend, so maybe, okay, I'll catch a little bit of it. And every once in a while, you get a little bit, you get drawn in, you know? I mean, I remember watching.
That's the second time you've referenced being home on a weekend. Earlier in the show, you talked about last night you were at home and you were watching some movies. Or was that off air? Have I taken something off air?
You took something off air.
I'm sorry. Let's move on, maybe. I'm sorry. I didn't mean, I thought it was the second time you mentioned on air.
No, it was
being kind of.
I don't even think I mentioned it. I think I said if I was home. but you somehow, I don't know, you can't see me in the studio right now, folks, but Matthew Leibel just pushed me right under the bus.
Oh, and then grabbed the wheel.
And then actually drove over it and put it in reverse and drove back on. No, I'm quite fine. Thanks, Matty. I do go out on the weekends. I might be out tonight.
Okay,
little place called Earl's Main. You can come see me. Come say hello.
Okay, that's the Legal Curve. Legal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 with Dave and Sean. My name is Matt here on the home of the Jets, TSN 1290. Well, we came into this. At the end of the last time, we talked about the Wild, right? The Wild are participating in this game tomorrow, and it's the same thing for the Wild this season, a little later than it was last season. Really underwhelming, underperforming. Earlier in the hour, we talked about the Ducks, a team set up to win now. I would argue that the Wild are also a team that's in a win-now mentality. Ryan Suter and Zach Parise are not getting any younger. Mikko Koivu is not, you know, Mark Scheifele. He's several years older. He's not getting any younger. I know they have some young talent, but they're definitely closer to wanting to win now than, let's say, the Winnipeg Jets. And yet, for the second year in a row, they're not where they want to be. Last year, Devan Dubnyk trade sparked them, and they went nuts one around. This year, waited a little later. Last weekend, Mike Yeo gets the axe. And now they're 3-0 under John Torchetti and 2 points out of a playoff spot. Are they going to do it again this year, Sean?
Yeah, like, are we witnessing the same thing as last year, this year? Like, is this going to happen again? But listen, I think they're in a tough place right now. Yeah, they've won 3 in a row. They beat Edmonton, Vancouver, and Calgary. They outscored them 15-8. I think John Torchetti, he's come in and he's won 3 in a row, so he's done nothing. You can't blame him for the results so far. I think Minnesota's got a real strong leadership group in that locker room. They really needed to address their goaltending issues last year. They did that. It sparked their run. This year, Devan Dubnyk's still there, maybe not performing as well as he did last year, but you got guys like Zach Parise, Mikko Koivu, Ryan Suter that, regardless of their coaching situation, can lead a dressing room. Those guys are all natural-born leaders. Mikko Koivu wears the C. Suter,
incredible.
Parise, an outstanding individual just in and of itself.
And they have other character guys too, like Pominville,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, is Thomas Vanek?
No.
Yeah, exactly. I just saw his name and I just wanted to throw that out
Skip
there.
Skip over that one. Yeah.
they call him the enigma wrapped in the riddle.
Yeah. Thomas Vanek. But that's the thing about the Wild is they are such a curious team to me because here they are again below the line. And you mentioned that their schedule where they win 3-0 is so good. Their next, I want to make sure that I have this right, 5 of their next 6 games are against teams in playoff spots, starting with Chicago tomorrow at TCF Bank Stadium in the outdoor game. So we're going to get a real test here with some stiffer competition for the Wild.
No, I think there's no doubt about it. But, I mean, look, this is – I think they – and we're going to talk about this with Mike. But the fact of the matter is I think they scored 5 goals in the first 3 games in regulation for the first time in their history. And look, we saw this when Claude Noel was fired and Paul Maurice was brought in. You're always going to have a bump because the fact is the players know that at this point you've fired a coach. Well, there's nobody left to fire. At that point, the players are going. And so if the players don't want to go, they know it's incumbent on them to make a change. And so we'll see if, and like to Sean's point, is this just you beat weak, inferior teams, or are you able to actually have some sort of change? We'll see.
Let's keep the conversation on the Wild and on outdoor hockey games going. At the top of the next hour, it's Mike Greenlee, Minnesota Wild color analyst for Fox Sports North. You're with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. It sounds like the start to a really bad joke, but three Jewish dudes rocking out in their chairs to some Daft Punk on a Saturday afternoon.
You went religious, huh?
I went cultural.
Oh, well, depends on your perspective, I guess.
I tried to go cultural. I was just trying to talk about us trying to dance along to Daft Punk as we welcome you back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We're going to head bop through the whole segment, actually.
Okay.
Maybe we shouldn't because it's radio and no one can see us. You're still doing it, Dave. Dave Manouk, Sean Assor here. I'm Matt Leibold. It's great to have you in. Yes, it's a different lineup today, but it's still the Illegal Curve crew. Our best to Drew, Richard, and Ezra, who, unlike the Winnipeg Jets, are taking a day off. The Jets are facing the Florida Panthers tonight at 6. It's part of Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC game day coverage here on the home of the Jets. More on the Jets. In fact, more on the Manitoba Moose coming up here in hour number 3. But we wanted to start talking a little outdoor hockey. We got a Stadium Series game tomorrow involving Minnesota and Chicago. So let's hook up with Mike Greenlay, Minnesota Wild color analyst for Fox Sports North, on the hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Mike, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for making some time for us this afternoon.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you about outdoor games. Will this be your first outdoor hockey game? I mean, at the NHL level, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the first one for the Minnesota Wild. That's why they're so excited about it. Chicago seems to do these every year, so it's old hat for them. But for the Wild, it's their first one, so they're gonna have a lot of fun, and I guarantee you there'll be plenty of people here.
Yeah, we were talking about it a little bit. We've got one of these we're expecting in October coming to Winnipeg. I myself was at one in New York a couple of years ago, and the atmosphere is electric. Locally, it's amazing. I'm not sure how well the outdoor game is translating on TV. We got it every year on January 1st, and we've got this one tomorrow and then another one next week with Colorado Detroit. Do you think the novelty of the outdoor game is wearing off at all a little, Mike?
Yeah, it's not a new thing, but yeah, you're right. Locally, it's always well received. And naturally, in the markets that both teams are playing, the away team, they'll have naturally have a draw to it just because their team's playing. But well, you know what I mean. It's still, I think, showing some success. But I think people aren't going to watch it just because it's an outdoor game. They may watch it because it's a good matchup or a good rivalry like that. But you know, when you have a few of them come through the mill every year, then you know, after a while, there's nothing necessarily new about it, but I think it's still a fun event. I think it's still, as you said, very well received in the markets that are playing in it, and that's something you got to build off.
So, Mike, that actually leads to my question, which is, what's the buzz been like in the Twin Cities and in Minnesota in general about this game and about seeing, as you said, an outdoor game for the first time in Minnesota?
Well, I mean, it's terrific. I'm here at the stadium right now. Actually, we're calling the alumni game on Fox Sports, and then it'll be on NHL Network as well. But the alumni game is going to be a little bit of fun tomorrow. It's on tomorrow's an NBC coverage, but here in town, everyone's pretty excited about it. There's going to be, you know, throngs of people here. You put that many people in a football stadium for hockey, you're going to hear some pretty good roars. Expecting good weather. Today it's going to be high 30s, 40 maybe at the most. I'm out here right now. It's overcast, which is perfect, and it's a little bit breezy, and so there's a chill in the air, which is, again, excellent for outdoor hockey. Tomorrow it's expected to be a little bit cooler, not much, still 35, 36 area, and it's going to be perfect for hockey, you know, hopefully. So, you know, I think people are going to come out. I mean, heck, they came out and watched the Vikings in 1 degree Fahrenheit weather, you know, a little while ago here. So this is going to be like people in t-shirts almost. So it's going to be fun. Plus they love hockey here.
So Mike, this is a two-parter about that. And number one is, how excited are people to see the Minnesota North Stars jersey being worn tonight in the alumni game? And secondly, was there any consideration of the Dallas Stars being the old Minnesota North Stars potentially being a competitor as opposed to the Chicago Blackhawks?
You know, I'm sure that, you know, and I'm not sure how it's all broken down and how they decide, you know, who they're playing and when. There is definitely a tie there. I mean, there's no question. And maybe in years to come here, that'll happen as well. But, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks, when you look at the matchup with the Wild, you know, the last 3 years in the playoffs, the Blackhawks and the Wild have faced each other, and the Blackhawks have come out on top. So there's plenty of animosity and plenty of rivalry between those two. So, you know, hey, down the road, I'm sure there'll be a lot of matchups that, you know, that are created by either playoff series or by any kind of history. I think people will be excited about the whole North Stars connection. I know that there's, you know, diehard North Star fans that still, you know, still wear the North Stars stuff to the Wild games. And, you know, it's a great connection. It's a, you know, you gotta draw some history from different places, but you know, it's a lot of fun. People are really embracing it, and they're getting behind it, and it's gonna be fun. The alumni game today is gonna be interesting too. We got, you know, a combination of Wild and North Star alumni against Blackhawks alumni. So there's some neat connections there.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on the home of the Jets, TSN 1290. We're chatting with Mike Greenlay, Minnesota Wild color analyst for Fox Sports North.
Mike, let's shift our focus behind the bench, maybe. The Wild are 3-0 since firing Mike Yeo, hiring John Torchetti. They, you know, they rattle off wins against Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, combined 15-8 in their last three games. Is this three wins in a row just a direct representative of the coaching change, or maybe a strong leadership core within the room? How do you attribute the quick turnaround?
Well, I think when you make a change like that, especially if you make a change with a good team. I mean, the Wild are a good team that just weren't figuring out how to get it done. They were snowballing there, and it wasn't working for them. But, you know, bottom line is they're a good team. They're a team that was one of the best teams in the second half last season, and it hasn't changed that much. So, you know, they should be able to do the same kind of thing. So when this stretch came upon them, they tried so many different things to right the ship, and it just didn't happen. And, you know, Mike Yeo is the victim of that circumstance. And then so John Torchetti came in, and, you know, he livened things up a little bit, real emotional, really boisterous coach, you know, in everyone's ear all the time, and basically told them, listen, guys, you know, clean slate here, you know, and they use those words a lot, the clean slate. Time for you guys to play like you can play, and you know, I'm not going to judge you based on stuff that you've done in the recent past here. I'm going to, you know, you're going to earn your ice time based on what you do here going forward. So I think the players felt a little more refreshed with the clean slate attitude, and he rolled his lines pretty consistently. And, you know, even if he did some of the same things that Mike Yeo tried, it's a different person saying it, and they got, you know, a little bit more onus now on the players, because once you get rid of the coach, there's no one else to point to. And so I think the players just kind of said, you know, whether it was, you know, conscious or unconscious, they kind of got things going in the right direction. And, you know, nothing against Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton, but this was an easier transition with the coach and then going on a three-game trip against those teams than if you were to gone, you know, Washington, Boston, New York or something. So, you know, this is just a turnaround. The players finally kind of knew that it was pointed at them, and they had to get things going. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. I mean, those are three games, three very important games. But, you know, they still have over 20 games left here, and they've got a lot of time, but they still have, you know, a lot of work to do.
So, Mike, I mean, this is a team that's only 2 points out of the playoffs, and they have, I believe, two games in hand on Colorado. Is there still confidence in the ownership or the management team that this team is a playoff team and can make some noise, not just make the playoffs, but make some noise? And if so, is there an expectation that there'll be buyers next week at the trade deadline?
Well, yeah, and you know what? It's kind of tough because, you know, everyone's always looking for something, right? And everyone's always looking to make themselves better, but usually around this time of year, it becomes very expensive to do that, whether it's draft picks, prospects, or current players. And then, you know, so it's not an easy thing to do. Now there's rental players out there, but you have to ask yourself how much you're going to pay for them. So I'm sure that Chuck Fletcher's got his ear to the ground, as always, just trying to make the team better if he can. But I don't think, I don't think selling the future for, you know, for picking up one guy that may or may not help your team is the right way to go. So I think if they can if they really believe that there's someone that they can grab that can help the team and it doesn't cost them too much, I think they'll do it. I do think this is a playoff team. Hard to say where you go once you hit the playoffs. I mean, when you hit the playoffs, there's a lot of elements that come into play. 3 years in a row, they've made the playoffs. 2 years in a row now, they've made it to the second round. So, you know, they're a team that had planned on building off of that. And, you know, this bump in the road has been bigger than the last couple of years. But maybe that slingshots them harder down the stretch and into the postseason. We'll see. That's, there's a lot of wait-and-see type things. They just need to play hard hockey here and get themselves in the postseason, first of all, and then after that to see if they can do some damage. And the other thing is, if they do somehow catch the postseason in the wild card position that would put them over in the Pacific side, that would be also a different wrinkle. So we'll see how everything goes, because now the last 3 years they've stayed on their central side.
Mike Greenlee is our guest on TSN 1290, talking a little Minnesota Wild ahead of tomorrow's Stadium Series outdoor game at TCF Bank Stadium in Minnie with the Chicago Blackhawks.
We were talking about their position in the standings. The Wild, 2 points out of a spot right now, but 5 of the next 6 games they're going to be playing against playoff teams, including tomorrow's against Chicago. Is it fair to say, Mike, that the playoffs are pretty much already here for the Wild?
No question. And it's even if it's not a positioning thing, it's definitely a mentality where you have to start playing against and beating teams that you feel that you might face in the postseason. Or face teams that have the caliber that you'd face in the postseason. So there's no question. I mean, there's urgency, but there's not panic, because they do have time to, you know, get on a roll and get things going. It's more about playing, you know, wins and losses, yes. At the end of the day, wins and losses run the day. But it's more about how they're playing. I mean, if you want to be playing the type of hockey that you want to play when you're playing your best and when you're facing the potential postseason berth. So, you know, it's about getting your. I mean, with this team, it's a little bit about healing, and it's a little bit about getting back to the game that will, that will eventually get them to the postseason and maybe get them somewhere in the postseason. And granted, the 3-game win streak on the road there, it was great. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of energy. But now you know, you're not going to just win games on rah-rah energy. You have to be playing the right way, getting your guys contributing the right way, and they got a lot of that. Now it's about doing it consistently, and if, you know, so you can't just 3 on the road and feel that you've arrived. The Wild still have a lot of work to do, but if they play the way that they did in the first half of the season, I see no reason why they can't get into the postseason in a good run.
So, Mike, you guys are called the state of hockey for a reason. You know, fans are as passionate there as they are in any place in the NHL. What's the fan reaction right now to this team? Like, are they prepared to be patient, or are they really wanting to see big upheavals within the organization?
You hear all kinds of chatter, especially when a team goes on a tough stretch. I mean, if the Wild wouldn't have had this tough stretch and wouldn't have had to change their coach and all that kind of stuff, then there wouldn't be really too much negative talk, because they would have just kept rolling like they did in the first half, and I'm sure that they would have felt, and then they would have probably, bit their tongue until they saw who we faced in the playoffs. But I guess there's always expectations. I mean, Winnipeg and all the Canadian teams, they have expectations too.
For sure.
Maybe even more so than a lot of American teams, just because of your fan base. And, you know, there's an expectation that you want to win, and you want to be a team that is that maybe is a little bit revered. So, but I'm sure the Wild are the same way, and the fans here want to see, you know, they want to see a winner, and they've seen the progression the last couple of years. And it's always tough to have something step back. So this last few weeks has been a little trying. There's been a lot more chatter, you know, about replacing these guys and those guys and all that. But, you know, that's just natural fan reaction to maybe, you know, a tough stretch. We'll see how everything shapes up here in the next month or two. And then you'll know kind of where the Wild stand and where the fans stand in relation to, you know, what they think about their team. Because this team is moving in the right direction. They've made some changes over the last couple of years to the positive, but now you have to, you know, pay dividends with it. So it is definitely a wait and see situation for them. Well,
it's funny timing, Mike, because as I asked you that question, the Minnesota Wild just tweeted out a picture of a huge lineup of Minnesota Wild fans in line right now. So clear that you guys have a passionate fan base that are excited for today's game.
Yeah, the alumni game is going to be fun. They're going to definitely be lined up here and get in the stadium and get snuggled up and ready for some outdoor hockey. Like I said, it's not bitter cold. That's great, but it's not 100%. It's not going to be 45 or 50 degrees either. So Fahrenheit. So it'll be fun. Hopefully they pack a lot of bodies in here and give these alumni guys a good little welcome. And then, kind of get ready for a big matchup tomorrow in the first Wild outdoor game and the first pro outdoor game, for that matter, in Minnesota history.
Fantastic stuff, Mike. Appreciate your time again. Enjoy the alumni game tonight and the Stadium Series 1 tomorrow afternoon.
I certainly will, guys. Take care.
It's the Legal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Our thanks to Mike Greenlay, Minnesota Wild color analyst for Fox Sports North, for joining us in this segment and spending a few minutes with us. Again, tomorrow's Stadium Series game is at TCF Bank Stadium in St. Paul, on that side of the river. Minnesota Wild going to host the Chicago Blackhawks. Tonight it's the alumni game and the Minnesota North Stars jerseys. Oh, that brings it back, man. That brings me back to being
Mike Medano. When Mike Medano came out for his final game and put that jersey on,
incredible.
It was the best moment. It was actually, I love the old school Colorado Rockies. Like, any of those old school jerseys are the best.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jim Toth is going to join us. Jim's also a color analyst working with the Manitoba Moose right here in Winnipeg. A lot of people want to know what's up with Josh Morrissey and Nick Petan and Chase DeLeo, Connor Hellebuck, Eric Comrie. Hellebuck, of course, since he got sent back to the Moose. Jim Toth going to join us at the bottom of the hour, and we'll fire all those questions and more his way. Alongside Sean Assor and Dave Manuk, my name is Matt Leibel. Let's come back and actually take a look at the Moose. Their recent games, are they finally starting to figure it out and play well, or are they where they belong at the bottom of the AHL standings? This is the home of the Winnipeg Jets on a Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC game day, TSN 1290. Alongside Sean Assor and Dave Manuk, I'm Matt Leibel. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on the home of the Jets, TSN 1290. Jim Toth going to join us just after 2:30, talk about the Manitoba Moose. In fact, we'll look at the Moose in just a minute. This segment brought to you by Keener Jerseys. Keener Jerseys is known as one of the world's best jersey customizers. If you want awesome jerseys for your rec team, or you have a jersey you want customized, visit Keener Jerseys online at KeenerJerseys.com. Don't forget, you can interact with us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Our personal handles are at Matt Leibel, L-E-I-B-L, at The Sasser, S-A-S-S-O-R, and at I-C Dave. I still have not been to a Manitoba Moose game this year, guys, I have to admit.
For shame.
I don't know.
I can tell you, as someone who's been to almost everyone.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's why it's great for me to have you here and have Jim coming on. And Sean, I know you've been to a couple of games recently because I have so many questions about the Moose. And it's not for a lack of interest. I got so many things. There's so many Jets games and things going on. It's hard to get out there. I'm thrilled to see that the attendance numbers are great.
Insane.
Can we start with that? Tell me about the attendance at these games.
It is.
Especially with the team playing crappy.
Because it's a completely different dynamic. I mean, the energy at Moose games is probably a little more significant than at Jets games simply because of the age. I would guess the average age is probably 12, 15, because the kids have to come with their parents, moms and dads. But, like, there are tons of kids. Tons. And there's groups, parents bringing their kids because it's affordable, and also because you have tons of groups, like hockey teams, and not like one or two, like probably 5, 6, 7 groups. I mean, they opened it up for the retro game. They opened up the upper bowl.
That was just the other night.
Yeah, it was last week. And so you had it really is, I talk about it all the time. It really is a really good atmosphere. And it's exciting because you've got the kids, they don't understand. I mean, that's the thing, right? You say, oh, well, the team isn't that good. Although they generally play, sometimes you can watch games and you're like, is this serious? But then, other times they play some players who can make it exciting, make it worth watching is what I'm getting at. But the kids make the atmosphere there because they're they don't know that the team isn't doing well, so they're just excited, they're happy. And so you literally, like, unlike at Jets games, and again this is not denigrating one, it's just a different dynamic, you literally have kids counting down the clock to end the period. So when it's like 3-2, actually probably
for real,
kids actually start it, but
it's,
and again,
awesome.
They start at the 10.
Nine,
they started about
eight,
the, yeah, literally.
Really?
At like the 10-second mark, maybe
that's
a little bit,
awesome.
They start counting down. And again, it's just because That's what they're there for. They're there to have fun. And I have to tell you, the Moose really have a great in-game entertainment. They have, it's completely different than the Jets. They have a lot of different things. They have a flex cam, which, again, focuses on kids. So although every once in a while they have some big buff dude, but, like, the reality, not literally Dustin Byfuglien, but, like, they'll
a
have
big buff.
Big buff dude, right.
Kind of like a Matt Leibel type, that
actually,
sort of physique.
You know,
yeah.
When, they said, when I was envisioning, who am I talking about specifically? I went, you know, Matt Leibel is a big buff dude. So you have, like, a lot of kids, and you'll have kids doing this flex cam, and literally it's hilarious. And it's even to the point where the media are sitting there, and we're watching, and we're laughing at the shenanigans that are taking place. So it really is an atmosphere that is conducive to families.
But it's not exactly an atmosphere that's been conducive to winning on the ice.
Right.
That's the only trade-off. And I was wondering about the attendance because the team's play has been so poor.
Again, they are, I believe they're somewhere like 7th or 8th overall in the AHL in terms of total attendance. And I think paid attendance, they're top 3. So it's really, there's no question. I mean, once again, it goes to show you people who are like, I have to say it. I'm not saying, wow, I don't want to be Donald Trump and say, I've been saying this for years. But I felt somewhat confident. Like I threw that Donald Trump reference in.
I do very much like that.
But so I want to say, like, I was confident when before the Moose got here that they would succeed. I thought that there was a market for it. And again, 1 year doesn't make success. You're not going to say this is going to be a success for 10, 15, 20 years simply because they had one good season and good turnout. I just think that it's providing an opportunity for the marketplace that wasn't there before.
Talking Manitoba Moose here on a Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC game day on the home of the Jets, TSN 1290. We are the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Now, what about the play? What about some of the guys? Are there positives? I mean, we saw Connor Hellebuck with the Jets, so I'm hearing a lot about Eric Comrie, but Morrissey, DeLeo, Nick Petan, a lot of people really intrigued by these names in particular, and that word, right? The second half of the plan, draft and develop. So how are they developing, Dave?
Well, again, this is why I mean, I've been saying this all throughout the season. You don't touch these guys. You leave them alone, and you just allow them to develop properly. I mean, there's no advantage for Chase DeLeo, who's in his first professional season, to be jumped up and play 2 minutes a game on the fourth line or sitting in the press box with us watching the Jets game. There's just no – yeah, okay, he practices with the team. That's very nice, but you're not getting the same – learning experience. And the fact is, the AHL is a men's league. You know, we're not talking, it's not terrible hockey. There are some very good players who are developing in the AHL. So I just think that you look at this, and again, even Josh Morrissey, and Josh Morrissey's a very interesting guy because defensemen generally take a little longer to develop than forwards do. And I'm not saying that Josh Morrissey is going to be, I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know what he's going to project out to be eventually, but he's a very smart individual, and he's a student of the game, and he's a conscientious guy. Actually, you know, I think he's very considerate and whatnot when you see the way he interacts with fans specifically. But in terms of his play, you just watch, he comes in and he talks about when we talk to him after the games, and he'll be like assessing his play, and he'll be very honest in his assessment of what there's no canned answers with Josh Morrissey. He's very frank. Actually, it's refreshing. A lot of these kids are like Comrie. They'll literally tell you, well, I could have done this. I could have. It's not the same as the pro game.
It's almost like they haven't been coached out of them.
Well, and I think it's just, look, they're assessing because they know that they're developing. There's not an expectation that they're going to be playing a game that's completely mistake-free. So I think the truth is that when you have players like Comrie and DeLeo and Hellebuck and Morrissey and Petan also has been having a nice season in the AHL. I mean, personally, like, I think but again, don't touch him. Leave him alone. And I think people were maligning Keith McCambridge, but the truth is that there's a dearth of veteran leadership, or not leadership, I shouldn't say that, talent on this team, which I think is what's part of the reason why this team is where they are.
Yeah, Dave, you see a lot more Moose games than I do. You're much more involved with the team. But from what I just witnessed last weekend, I checked out both games last weekend, and, you know, we follow along here at the station, of course. We were talking about earlier, no benefit comes from forcing these guys into circumstances where they can't grow. Leave them down there, let them develop in the developmental league. Like a guy like someone yesterday I played a floor hockey game yesterday, but some guy comes up to me and goes, as if Chase DeLeo with 29 points in 51 games is leading the Moose in points. That is pathetic. And I'm thinking to myself, and actually I said this, I was like, this is a team where I'd probably say over 50% of our players are learning. Probably some of them for the first time, like first-time pros, I'd say a lot of our roster, first-time pros. And it takes a while. These type of things, when you make the jump from junior to pro, playing against the oldest guy you're going to play against is some overage 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, to guys that are literally lifers developing from 20 to 25, 30, 35 in this league. That's a tough learning curve for these kids. They're not there physically. They're definitely not there mentally. And just to see the improvements that they've made over a 4-month span is very promising. We have some great young talent. I think Austin Brassard really stood out to me in some of those games, especially the 90s game, the Saturday of the back-to-back. He was really good. Had a couple of really nice passing plays, some good vision, used his big body. He stood out to me. And like you were talking about, Nick Patan, he looks like he's really starting to get it, along with Chase DeLeo, the Port and Winterhawk tandem. I think it's exciting to look and watch these guys, and I like the vibe that we get from the Moose, even if it's not a winning one.
The only thing I would add, really, is the fact that they've had some key injuries. I mean, when you lose Jay Harrison is a key, would have been a key player on the defense for this team, and also in terms of helping some of the younger guys like Brandon Kitchen and Josh Morrissey, helping their development. Not that he's not there, but it's different when he's not on the ice, right? So that's one guy who they've definitely been lacking. And then also Raffle. I mean, Thomas Raffle was signed to play with the Jets. He was going to go down to the Moose kind of start. And then, you know, he's really just kind of getting into where he's playing more. So we're seeing them. The only thing I would add is that 90s game was incredible. I literally felt like a kid. Like, the music they played was like Van Halen Jump. Like, it was just like, it was like they played, Pump It, what's the name of that song?
The Salt and Pepper?
Yeah, whatever.
Push
you know what I'm
it?
Saying? Like,
you want to sing us a line?
No, no, I'm definitely not going to be singing.
Are you talking about the organ player?
No, no, they had the original, original organ from the Winnipeg Arena.
Sounds like you guys really enjoyed Retro Night. It sounds awesome.
It was awesome. It was great. They should bring the organ back.
And that's
a job I would want. I want to be the organ guy in arena. That's what I want.
But, Maddie, that's the only thing I'd say is just to kind of finish this off before we bring Jim on to talk
absolutely.
About it. Is just that the uniqueness of, like, look, you have a polar bear jersey night. You have the camo, you know, army wear, you know, nights. They have a bunch of, it's just, there's a lot more that you can do with the AHL because it's less, a little bit less strict in terms of, like, you know, in the regulation. Not, I shouldn't say that, it sounds odd, but, like, it's just that there's just more opportunities to do things without having to worry about, you know, the NHL saying you can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. So I think that you just see a lot more uniqueness, i.e., like I said, the polar bear jersey night. Or even this last Monday, I went to the zoo, met with the Manitoba Moose at the Journey to Churchill, pack full of kids, cool. And it's community engagement, and that's what we're seeing with the Moose, and it's good because again it rounds out what you have with the Jets and the Moose. Anyways.
And that just to touch on the zoo experience, the players love it too. You look on social media, you got Chase DeLeo and Nick Patan taking pictures of themselves in front of a variety of animal exhibits, going just a couple zookeepers here maintaining the animals. So like getting these guys out into the public and interacting with fans, it's great for both sides. These guys obviously they're young kids. They take this in, they have fun, they embrace this role within the community, and it's great. It's great for families and people that, you know, don't get the opportunity to go see the Jets play on a regular basis. They can get into the MTS Center, still get the experience, look around, see, oh, this is the home of the big dogs, but here come the pups. You know, it's
gotcha.
Fun. It gives you that connection at a young age for the fan base, and they do a great job. They really do.
And they see the Moose banners hanging
exactly.
in the rafters.
Yeah, the banners, yeah.
Jim Toth is going to join us next for more on the future of the Jets, the Manitoba Moose. With Sean Assor and Dave Anouk, I'm Matt Leibel. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We got clean line Winnipeg Jets hockey tonight at 6 as the Jets take on the Florida Panthers live from Sunrise, Florida. Winnipeg Jets record 25-28-4. They went from 3-4 with that shootout loss Thursday in Tampa. The Panthers come in first in the Atlantic, 33 wins, 18 losses, 6 losses in overtime or a shootout. Welcome back to the home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290. We are the Illegal Curve Hockey Crew. And for Drew, Richard, and Ezra, myself, Matt Leibel, along with Dave Manouk and Sean Assor. I've been talking a little bit about the future Jets, the Manitoba Moose. And to help us with that conversation, we wanted to bring in Manitoba Moose color analyst Jim Toth on the hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Jim, this is a fantastic honor. Usually when you and I are speaking, it's about the sorts of things that can't be broadcast, and it's a lot of fun, so we're going to have to find a way around it. But it's usually very – I mean, for years you worked at the other guys, and we couldn't have you on, and you and I used to just do this sort of stuff over beer. Plus, you were a late-night guy, and I was an early-morning guy. I'm just basically trying to transition somehow into this conversation by saying it's really great to have you on.
Well, along those lines, it's great to be on. Thanks for having me, guys, and thanks for doing this on a Saturday afternoon, not morning.
Well, exactly.
We actually made the change for you specifically, Jim.
Yes, I also give you clothing advice, Matt. Are you still doing the bow tie with the clown cardigan, or is this where have we moved on?
I can't say that the bow tie is there, but I don't care for your adjective of clown, but the cardigan is still around. How is the infamous, or should I say just straight-up famous, Jim Toth hair these days?
It's outstanding, and I haven't even done it today. It just, like, you wake up, and it's like, what am I even getting up to do this for? It's perfect.
You know, it's funny, we're talking about the Moose. You and I just had a really great back-and-forth text message session just the other day talking about the Moose. I was picking your brain a bit, and then I find out that you're coming on here and everyone's going to get to hear some of your insight. We were just kind of, we spent the last segment talking a lot about the atmosphere at Moose games, and I have to admit I haven't been with my schedule, but Sean and Dave were saying that the atmosphere is actually quite different from a Jets game. Really young, really energetic. Want to get your thoughts on the atmosphere before we get into some of the players on the Moose.
Yeah, no, it is really young and energetic, and that's the one thing about the Moose coming back that I knew that they would do a good job with, because they did such a fantastic job of the first version of just mixing in the pro hockey. This is good hockey. Come, you know, buy a ticket, you'll be entertained, you'll see the intricacies of players developing and trying to win a Calder Cup, but at the same time, it was very kid-friendly, and it sort of appealed to that mass audience, much like Winnipeg Goldeyes games do, that, you know, you go and buy a baseball ticket and you get so much more. The Manitoba Moose have done a fine job of that, and they did it in version one. So I love the atmosphere, and I like seeing how many kids come out. But I also, you know, the parents that are there and the fans that you see on the score clock, you know, several games so far this season, and that tells me there's a lot of people returning, a lot of adults coming back to the games, a lot of season ticket holders that are showing up game in and game out. So the one thing I did know about the Moose and how, you know, they would do it right, I just didn't know that attendance would be this good, because it was clear to me, and Craig Heisinger told me, in the summer, I actually talked to him the day he told Jason Jaffrey that he would not be offered a contract, that this is going to be a strictly development team. They have a ton of players turning pro. I think they have 7 first-year players on this roster. They still have guys that aren't ready to make the jump to the National Hockey League. So he said that day that there's not going to be any Brad Morans, there's not going to be any Jason Krogs, there's not going to be any Jason Jaffries. This is going to be a strictly development team, and he wanted to make the point clear from way back in the summer that this was going to be a different version of the Manitoba Moose from the first one.
So, Jim, this is a team, Manitoba team that's, you know, not done as well. I think they're 29th right now. They leapfrogged Iowa with their win last night. But what are the bright spots? If you're not looking at the team as a collective, but looking at some of the individual players.
Well, a first bright spot is just what's going on now, and 2 wins on the road, that they are awful on the road and can't get wins. They're not bad at home, and even when they don't win at home or get a point, they play better. So to get 3 wins in a row and 2 on the road, and against Rockford, Rockford's a very good team this year, so for them to go in and do that. But individual players, I mean, it's about development, and there are some players here, but I think they are right where they need to be, and I hear that a lot when I'm watching Jets games and, of course, on Twitter and doing other radio across the country. People ask me, well, who's ready to come up? Well, nobody is, and that's by design, and that's the problem. And I think the big problem with people wondering why, you know, this team doesn't have a 50-point player yet, or this team doesn't have, you know, a star up-and-comer, or why isn't Nick Batan scoring more because he started the year with the Jets? Well, I think it's because these guys are right where they need to be. But there are some positives around the Moose, and I think, you know, Chase DeLeo is a prime example. He's got 29 points in 51 games, but he's doing everything right. I had a conversation about J.C. LePon about 2 weeks ago with head coach Keith McCambridge, and then he went out and got 5 points, a goal and 4 assists. And Keith McCambridge said about 2 days before he did that, I just told him, you're not going to make the NHL putting up points. And he has put up a ton of points. He's the second leading scorer on this team. But he said, get back to what you do, and that's be physical, be agitative, be tough to play against. And he got back to doing that. And in the game where he had 5 points, He tattooed a guy in his first shift against the boards, and with 6 seconds left, he did it again in the game, and it drew the ire of the other team. And I think that's what this team's about. It's about guys, you know, being aided in developing their skills and getting them to the National Hockey League. And J.C. LaPone's one of those guys that Keith McCambridge just said. He goes, you're not going to get there by putting up points. You're going to get there by being tough to play against, being good defensively, and being physical and agitative. Do that down here, and the points will come. And 2 days later, he gets 5 points. He got another goal last night. So those are the kinds of things that, you know, when you understand the philosophy of the team and what they're doing, you know, I think they're on the right track. That being said, they're not a very good hockey team, and they lack consistency like a young team would. But this isn't junior hockey. This is a professional league, and you're playing against guys who are 30 years old. You're playing against guys that have got 50 games in the NHL. They're in their third or fourth year pro and trying to make that jump. And that just doesn't go over, you know, when you're facing a team of 7 first-year players. You know, the majority of the organization is in their second or third year of pro, and you struggle to find consistency in your game. And that's what I've seen throughout this Moose season is even when they're playing well, they have these massive laps of momentum and get hemmed in their own end. And it's done by just 26, 28, 30-year-old men who know what they're doing and can put the pressure on when need be.
Jim, you talked about the wins in Rockford, and it's actually now they've won 3 in a row dating back to Chicago, February 14th. You know, the Ice Hogs, a very good team, as you spoke. Are the guys, like, these 3 wins in a row, is this indicative maybe that they're starting to get the pro game just a little bit more than the way the season began?
Yeah, I think it's that, Sean, and I think it's also the fact that they're starting to understand what they need to do to get wins. And I don't think it's about getting wins every night. I think it's about going out and playing the style that is going to give them an opportunity to get wins. And, you know, they had that homestand there against Toronto, who is arguably, I think, the best team. Well, not anymore because half the team is in the NHL now, but was arguably the best team in the American Hockey League. The Texas Stars score a ton of goals. And what Keith McCambridge said, even when they were losing games, he likes the compete level. And that's what it's about with this team. I think if they're turning a corner, it's not turning a corner because they're piling up wins. It's turning a corner to they're finally starting to understand this is who we are. This is what we need to do to give us a chance to win. And if we can do it more consistently, game in, game out, period in and period out, you'll have a chance to win. And I think you are seeing some results of that. The consistency's coming around. They're being doing the things that they need to do, and they're competing hard. Keith McCambridge, as we know, is a Jets organization man that understands what they need to do, and it's the puck battles. You have to win those along the boards. And so many times this year when this team's had a lead or been down just one goal, they lose those easy puck battles, and they get turning their heads around and wondering where the play's going, and that's when they lose. I think what you're seeing now is that slow development of understanding the game at the pro level, understanding the speed of it, and making smarter decisions than just, you know, throwing the puck wherever they can. They get the puck, and then they make something happen, as opposed to try and make something happen while they're trying to get the puck back. And things like that, I think, are leading them to get some success. And I think that's a victory for this organization, which, you know, I know a lot of fans will sit there and go, well, you're losing games. But if you're losing games 3-2, 4-2, and in the fight right till the end, I think that's a victory for this team from where they've come from at the start of the year, where they just didn't have a clue what was going wrong. And you can see the frustration in the younger players like Nick Petan and guys like that, Chase DeLeo, and even the veterans. Matt Fraser has been one of the most frustrated guys I've seen, because he's a guy who scored 30 points in this league and is slowly starting to, you know, find his groove. And that's another issue, I think, with this team, guys, is the only few couple of veterans they did bring in just aren't having good seasons. John Albert struggled with a knee injury. He's finally healthy and putting up some points the last 2 weeks and getting his feet under him. Matt Fraser struggled mightily, and you could see it in his face after every practice. He just couldn't figure out what was going wrong. Jay Harrison not being in the lineup, it hurts this team immensely. And then, you know, there's other guys like Thomas Raffel, who, you know, his first 3 or 4 games back this month, I was like, man, this guy is lost. And then the last 2 or 3 games, and he got a goal last night, you can see that this is a pro hockey player. He knows what he's doing. He just hasn't played in months because of injuries, so it takes a while to get his skates back under him.
Jim Toth is with us talking a little Manitoba Moose on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
So Jim, when Connor Hellebuck was called up at the end of November, you know, Eric Comrie assumed the net. I believe he played like 22, 23 games, not in a row, but total. I think UC Ole Kanura got into maybe 2 or 3 as a starter. The question now, of course, with Hellebuck having come back, being reassigned by the Jets, is how do you see the net play developing? Because, of course, most fans are going to think Hellebuck's just going to assume the mantle and play the majority of the games. Is that what you see happening? Do you think that Eric Comrie will get into one game every once in a while? Or do you think that Coach McCambridge will try and do a little bit more even up with those two?
Well, I think the original plan was, as good as Eric Comrie is as a prospect, was to just ride Hellebuck and Comrie would be the natural backup. So 80% of the game's going to Hellebuck and the rest going to Comrie. Comrie did a phenomenal job and showed that he can carry the load of an American Hockey League team as a rookie. So I think the plan stays the same. I think Connor Hellebuck's going to get all the starts. I think if there's more chance to rest Hellebuck, they will do that and give Comrie, but I do believe it's back to the original plan. Hellebuck's the goalie of the future, and Hellebuck will most likely be in the National Hockey League next year, whether it's as a starter for the Jets or as a backup. And Eric Comrie will get his time. And part of this is the continuing development of it. Eric Comrie has played more games this year already than I think he probably the plan was to have him play. Connor Hellebuck needs to continue to develop, and he's not going to do that backing up another very good prospect. So I think the original plan is back in place, in my assessment, where Connor Hellebuck will play more. But when you can get that extra game of resting Hellebuck, you will definitely do it. Where in the past, I think, before he went up to the Jets, the original plan was just like, well, we got to ride Hellebuck as much as we can and get as many wins. It's a fine line, guys, because, you know, Keith McCambridge is under the gun to develop these players. But he's also got a roster of players that knows that UC Okanora was just not good this year. And you know as well as I do, when guys don't believe in a guy or think he's that ready yet, not that they didn't like him or not that they didn't think he could play, it's just you got a guy on the bench in either Comrie or Hellebuck that gives you a better chance. That affects the other team. So you have to balance that. You have to know that, you know, you're behind your guys, you're behind your team and want to give them the chance to win. And I think you can do that a lot easier with Hellebuck and Comrie, where now I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever. It doesn't matter which guy plays, you have a chance to win every night. They're that good at this level. It just wasn't there with UC Okanora. He was a fine backup when he came off the bench. It's about getting these guys the rest as well in order for them to be at their best. So you don't want to ride Hellebuck too much, but he is the number one goalie down here. Eric Comrie's back to the backup. But when you do get that chance to give him the odd rest, if you have four or six home games in a week and a half or road games, that you can get Comrie. Maybe if he was going to play one of the six games, he'll now maybe play two, allowing Connor to be at his utmost peak performance in the other four.
Speaking of utmost peak performance, Toth, you sound awesome. You're incredible.
I've been itching at the gun, boys. This semi-retirement is I'm fired up now.
Well, we appreciate the time answering a few Moose questions. I have a feeling that you and I and maybe the Illegal Curve guys, I see a trip to the deli, maybe Bernstein's Deli in the future for us, okay?
Well, I love meat, so let's do it.
That's Jim Toth, Manitoba Moose color analyst. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jimmy.
See you, Jim.
Jeez. I now understand why he was saved for later on in the show, because you can't have an interview with Jim Toth in the first hour
go from there?
And ever expect to get back on track.
Absolutely not.
Oh, great stuff on the Manitoba Moose. They are taking on the Milwaukee Admirals. 7 o'clock tonight, an hour after the Jets game starts in Florida against the Panthers. You can catch the Moose game online, moosehockey.com. The Jets game, of course, can be found right here on TSN 1290 on this Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC game day. Top of the hour will be Hustler and Lawless game day with Darren Bombing and Gary Lawless. But we'll come back. We've got a few items of rapid fire to get through. With Sean Astor and Dave Manuk, my name is Matt Leibel, and it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Welcome back. Getting ready for Hustle and Lawless at the top of the hour. This is still the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, and this segment is brought to you by the Rady Fitness Center, official fitness facility of Illegal Curve Hockey. With 52,000 square feet of gym space, new equipment, and a saltwater pool, get back in shape and reclaim your glory days at the Rady Fitness Center. For details and to save up to $100 off a new membership, visit RadyJCC.com/IllegalCurve. Again, the Rady Fitness Center, official fitness facility of Illegal Curve Radio.
Perfect.
Guys, it's the last segment of the show, and you know that means rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Okay, how are we doing this? Am I going to fire the questions to you, gentlemen? Sure. Sean Assor, Dave Manuk. My name is Matt Leibel. Here we go. I got four. Are you ready for the first one?
Let's hear it.
Okay, number one. Maple Leafs forward Leo Komarov was suspended 3 games on Friday by NHL player safety for elbowing Rangers defenseman Ryan McDonagh Thursday night. This is gross. It was a brutal hit. In your opinion, 3 games, Sean, was this a fair suspension?
Fair, yes, only because it's a first-time offense, and that's kind of the way the NHL's rap sheet. They look at people, players' rap sheets first and foremost. I mean, McDonagh, concussion, out.
Well, he had been out, and now he's out again, right? Like it's
so resulted in a player's injury. I think that increases from a 1 or a 2 to the 3. I don't like what he says after. He goes, "I'm not trying to hurt people. I'm just hitting. Sometimes it goes like it goes." So I don't think
watch
the video. They've analyzed it. He beelines from the red line to the blue line, elbow up, dirty play, 3 games, first time offense, fair.
I get that. The only problem is, if you really want this play out of the NHL,
exactly,
you can't go 3.
You
got to go 5 at least or more.
Say we're trying to eliminate headshots.
Exactly.
And then,
Dave, you want to hit this one? Are you ready for number 2?
The only thing I would say is I think 3 is the minimum he should have gotten because it was, you know, it was in the ticket, it was a dirty hit.
Right.
And I think you're 100% right. You don't want this stuff in the NHL, so you have to get rid of it.
Number 2, the Washington Capitals signed 28-year-old Taylor Chorney to a 2-year contract extension on Friday. Chorney, known as being a defensive defenseman, has no goals and 5 assists in 45 games this year for the Caps. Is the Capitals' defense good enough, Dave, right now, or do they need to add somebody before the trade deadline?
Well, you know, I'm not going to malign a Thunder Bay boy. Nice to see him get that contract. But, you know, I mean, you know, Alsner, Carlson, Niskanen, Orlov, they got Orpik back. And everybody was saying, well, when I think Orpik missed 30 games or he missed 40 games and they won 30 of the 40. I think that's what it was. And they've got Nate Schmidt as well. So, you know, I think that they're – look, I mean, look at the Washington Capitals right now. And Holtby's such a good goalie. And I'm sorry, I forgot this was called rapid fire, so I'm going to try and keep it rapid. I think that they're fine. I think that you have a defensive defenseman. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, they're obviously priming for a long playoff run. You can never have too many defensive defensemen in the postseason, especially guys that are going to block shots, clear the net, muck it up. Good signing, a little bit of depth as Washington prepares to make a cup run.
Yeah, wow, Washington. I mean, I was excited for them in July, and they've exceeded my expectations. They're on pace for 129 points, which is just 3 off the NHL record.
Yeah, it's crazy.
76-77 Montreal Canadiens. Number 3. This past Thursday, Colorado Avalanche GM Joe Sakic was quite candid with the media when asked what his team may be looking for before the NHL trade deadline on Feb 29th. Sean, Sakic said he would love to land a top four defenseman and or a puck management forward, of course, if the right deal is available. Of all the players who have been rumored to be possible trade targets, who do you think would be a good fit to wear an Avs jersey?
I really like looking at Phoenix, Mikhail Bodker.
Ooh.
Staying in the West. I mean, he's used to that Western Conference kind of grind style hockey. Big boy, can skate, puck managing forward. I think he'd look kind of solid.
I wonder what the Coyotes would ask to get Bodker.
Exactly.
They're still trying to work out the details of extending him. He's just 25.
Exactly. I was thinking about this question, actually, and I don't know. It's just, he's a big boy, he can skate, and he handles the puck well.
Dave, you got anybody in mind for the Colorado Avalanche? How about we go to number 4 for you, Mr. Minuk? Sure. The final rapid-fire question starts with a little bit of audio. Maestro, please, we need a goal highlight to kick off this final question.
Y viene el ataque de Jeremy Jagger! Jeremy Jagger! Jeremy Jagger, ya no quiero la estadística, Octavio, olvídese, ya no quiero la estadística, rugen las panteras, Jeremy Jagger presente, rompió el celofán, rompió la paridad, necesitamos 42 minutos 23 segundos para el gol, frente a San José, Charlotte, Florida Panthers tienen uno, Jeremy Jagger llega a 18, San José Sharks.
Even if you don't speak Spanish, you can pick out Florida and Jaromir Jagr. Yes, that's the Spanish language goal call of Jagr's 740th from the other night, putting him just one back of Brett Hull, making him the 4th player in NHL history to have goals over the age of 44. Tonight we'll see him when the Jets take on Jagr and the Panthers. Guys, you know, Jagr can tie Brett Hull tonight. It would be 3rd on the all-time goal-scoring list. How many goals do you think he finishes his career with? And how many more seasons will he play?
I could see him playing at least two seasons more.
So could I.
So I'm thinking to myself, like, if he plays two seasons and he averages, let's say, 20-25 goals, somewhere in that range, could end up close to 775 goals in his career. And this is taking away the fact that he was in the KHL for 3-4 years.
And lockouts.
Mm-hmm. Like, this guy's, he's unbelievable. I mean, he's still a joy to watch. I mean, he's huge. I mean, I remember seeing him in the Panthers locker
massive.
Room. Huge
massive.
Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, he could easily play for another two seasons. He's a fitness freak, apparently. So he takes care of his body, takes care of his mind. And, I mean, if the will is there and the desire is there, and, we spoke to a number of Florida media members, they say he's having a fun time still. So if you're having fun and you can still play, why not? I want to hear the Spanish goal call for when he ties and or breaks Brett Hall's
record.
That's
the best goal call I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And those guys, I've heard them before with Brandon Peary last year. It's just so much fun. Let's hope, though, that the Jets can keep the Panthers to at least one goal and maybe a shutout tonight for Michael Hutchinson. It's a great way to finish.
You just jinxed it.
I'm sorry. It's a great way to finish the show, except for my little error right there. Clean Line Jets Hockey's coming your way tonight at 6 as the Jets get ready to face Jager and the Florida Panthers. It's all part of Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC Game Day, which continues with Hustler and Lawless next at the top of the hour. For Sean Assor and Dave Manuk, my name is Matt Leibel. Thanks for being with us this Saturday afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on the home of the Jets, TSN 1290.